Good morning. My name is Jordan Gatlin. I'm from Oklahoma State University. I am a master's candidate in the Plant and Soil Science Department, and my research thus far has focused on limited irrigation corn and sorghum in the Oklahoma Panhandle. So in the Southern Great Plains, technical difficulties. So, in the Southern Great Plains, irrigated agriculture is largely supported by the Ogallala Aquifer. This is a very large aquifer that spans 8 states, so Oklahoma, Texas, Kansas, Nebraska, New Mexico, Colorado, South Dakota, and Wyoming. Since the 1950s, irrigation from this aquifer has increased significantly, which has led to what is known as water mining. Can you hear me? As a practice known as water mining, where basically water is taken out of the aquifer at a rate faster than that which it is replaced. This has led to decreases in well pumping capacities, which can be problematic for producers. So this map shows, it's a good illustration of water level changes from 1950 to 2005 in the Ogallala Aquifer. The red to yellow colors show a decline, while the blue colors indicate an increase and the gray indicates no change. As you can see, in the Oklahoma Panhandle, there hasn't been much change, but the areas there are some areas of decline from approximately 10 to 50, maybe some areas of up to 100 feet of decline from this aquifer, which can lead to challenges for producers in the area. So solutions, producers can drill new wells. This can be expensive and problematic. Test wells drilled don't always lead to good wells. They can reduce the number of acres irrigated, which can decrease yields. They can also switch from irrigated to dry land, which can decrease yields as well. They can also adopt new technologies such as more efficient pivot systems, surface drip, subsurface drip, as well as different irrigation scheduling technologies to spread the available water out throughout the season efficiently. And they can also grow different crops. So corn is basically the main crop grown in the Oklahoma Panhandle. There are a couple others that will need to fit into the economic scheme with the animal production industry that's also present in the Panhandle. Sorghum is a good alternative to corn. So just some stats. Last year, 730,000 metric tons were produced in the Oklahoma Panhandle of corn. Corn requires approximately 630 to 760 millimeters of water through the growing season. Average annual rainfall for this area is 380 millimeters, which supplies approximately half of the water needed for corn. So you'll have to irrigate more to produce enough corn. For sorghum, 92,000 metric tons were produced last year in the Panhandle, and it requires significantly less water than corn. With 450 to 550 millimeters, so it would require less supplemental irrigation. So maximum sorghum yields can be reached with less irrigation water applied versus corn in this region based on previous research. However, yield response curves for sorghum haven't been developed in the Southern Plains region to represent the Panhandle. This has been done north, so I believe Colby, Kansas, and then south, I think it's Bushland, Texas. But there's kind of a gap. We're kind of lacking for the specific Panhandle region of Oklahoma. This data from my project is needed to assess the irrigation capacity then at which sorghum becomes more economically advantageous than corn in this region. Just a little illustration of in-season water use, just some more comparison of the two crops. Corn will use approximately 4/10 of an inch at peak ET, while sorghum will use approximately 3/10 of an inch at peak ET. This means that you're going to have a higher capacity well at peak ET to grow corn than you will for sorghum. So the objective of this project is to compare yield potential of the two crops under a range of limited irrigation capacities. The study was conducted in Goodwell, Oklahoma. The soil type is a Gruber clay loam, and we utilized the subsurface drip system that was in existence at the station, because we wanted to have complete control over how much water was applied to each crop within each of our treatments. The tape was spaced 152 centimeters apart, such that one tape irrigated two rows of corn and sorghum, respectively, and then it was placed at 36 centimeters deep. So experimental design, we had 8 treatments. They were replicated 4 times. So we had 32 plots. We had a randomized complete block design with a split plot. So the whole plots were the crop, and the subplots were the irrigation rates. Statistical analysis, we used ANOVA. So my 8 treatments, for the corn, we had 60, 45, 30, and 15 liters per minute per hectare. And for sorghum, we had 45, 30, 15, and 7.5 liters per minute per hectare. We chose not to do a 7.5 liter per minute per hectare treatment for the corn because it's been shown that below 15 liters per minute, there's not sufficient capacity to produce corn in the panhandle. And we chose not to do a 60 liter per minute treatment for sorghum because above 45, there's really no added benefit with the higher irrigation rates. So in 2013, our corn was planted on June 3rd and sorghum was planted on the 17th. In 2014, the corn was planted on April 16th while the sorghum was planted on June 3rd, and both crops were harvested in October of each year. Just a little more information about planting. So we had 2 different hybrids. We just common practice, we planted a high seeding rate in the 2 highest irrigated treatments and a lower seeding rate in the 2 lower irrigated treatments for both crops in both years. So results from 2013, we applied from 150 to 320 millimeters for the corn and from 100 to 260 millimeters for the sorghum. As far as yield, we gained, from 11,000 to 7,500 kilograms per hectare for corn and from 9,500 to 7,200 kilograms per hectare for sorghum. What's important in this slide is the irrigation water use efficiency, which is simply yield in kilograms divided by irrigation water applied in millimeters. For 2013, we had the highest irrigation water use efficiency for our low-rate sorghum. The highest water use efficiency for our corn was in the lowest rate as well. And there were no statistical differences in the top 3 treatments for either crop. And as you can see, efficiencies increased as irrigation well capacity decreased. In 2014, we applied slightly more irrigation, so from 320 to 620 millimeters of water on the corn and from 100 to 340 on the sorghum. Yields increased slightly, so from 12,000 to 6,900 kilograms per hectare for the corn and from 9,400 to 6,400 for the sorghum. Irrigation water use efficiency, the patterns were slightly different this year. For the sorghum, it was the same, so water use efficiency increased as well capacity decreased. However, for the corn, this was not the case. We maximized water use efficiency in the 45 liter per minute per hectare treatment. One reason I think this may be is because of our in-season rainfall patterns. So before we plant, we apply pre-plant water to fill the profile, because when we begin irrigation, we want to assume the profile is full. So in 2013, when we planted our corn, we hadn't had nearly enough rainfall, so we applied 90 millimeters of pre-plant irrigation, and for the sorghum, we applied 40. So 2013, we applied pre-plant water on both crops. 2014, we applied pre-plant water on the corn at 83 millimeters, but we didn't put any water down on the sorghum, because by the time we started planting in June, it had already had sufficient rainfall to assume the profile was full. And that pre-plant water was not included in either of these figures. So this is just straight irrigation that went on each crop during the season. So in summary, at low irrigation capacities, sorghum irrigation water use efficiency is higher than corn. Soil moisture, I took cores about a week ago, and those are being analyzed right now for moisture content, and those will be used to develop a total water budget. And then this data also will be used There's some economists at Oklahoma State that are going to use my data to evaluate economic viability of sorghum to corn, as well as potential impact of sorghum production on depletion of the Ogallala Aquifer, and they're going to do some cool stuff spread out over the next 50 years to look at that. So I'd like to acknowledge the Oklahoma Water Resources Research Institute for providing funding through USGS, the Oklahoma Water Resources Board, and OSU DASNR. And at this time, I'll take any questions. Okay, so we calculated irrigation water use efficiency, it's really loud, using the yield in kilograms per hectare divided by the irrigation in millimeters. So mass of the crop divided by amount of water applied.
Did the rainfall factor in there then?
And well, see, we didn't include the rainfall into this water applied in this table. If we were to, then I do believe that the water use efficiencies would change. But they're not included here.
Any other questions?